But today we're going to honor the Holy Spirit, right? Because today is Pentecost Day. So 50 days from Easter is the day of Pentecost, where we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, like Thurman's already mentioned. And so we're going to just honor him today, because the book of Acts does what it talks about, the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus ascended up in chapter 1, then the Holy Spirit came 10 days after he ascended up. And so amazing things are taking place in the book of Acts, right? It's the church on the move. And so Jesus is empowering his disciples, his people, to accomplish the mission that he has for them. And so in Acts chapter 6, we're going to see the church making some decisions. They're on the move. They're making some quick decisions. A lot of people, a lot of needs need to be met, right? And so, like, how are we going to accomplish the mission? What's going to be our priorities? What's going to be what we're going to focus on? All of these things had to be addressed, right? Because people were being saved, being baptized. And we're going to have a baptism today. So little Corbin, raise your hand, buddy. He's going to be baptized today as well. And so if you feel like you've never been baptized yet, or if you've accepted Christ, you've never been baptized, guess what? We have clothes for you to change into, right? And so, hey, today is your day, if you need to, right? We come prepared. So in Acts chapter 6, let's get there really quick, all right? Hope you're there. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, now think about that, wouldn't it be awesome to see more and more people come to know Christ? The Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "Hey, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables to help with this food distribution. Brothers, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." Notice the qualifications there. "We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal displeased the whole group. Hey, we don't like that. Is that what it says? No, it says this proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so again, you see the work of the Holy Spirit coming upon people, and they were known. Think about this. He says, choose people who are known for what? Being filled or being full of the Spirit of God. He didn't say who were known with seminary degrees or college degrees or all these kinds of things. He says, no, they're known for the Spirit of God upon their life. People who are full of wisdom, they know the Scriptures. And so they chose Stephen. We're going to see Stephen next Sunday. This guy was just one of the first deacons who was just helping with the distribution of food, and God raises him up, and he's the first martyr of the early church. But his wisdom, according to God's word, was awesome, as we're going to see next week. And so, the Holy Spirit was at work, and he's doing things through the apostles. He's doing things now through these early deacons and these men who were raised up for this purpose of helping widows. And so, widows was a big deal, right? And so, it's a big deal to this church, because it's a big deal in the Bible. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy that God defends the cause of the widow and the fatherless. He loves to come to your aid and help you. It's like, well, who does he send to help you? People. He puts it on the hearts of people to, hey, we need to check on so-and-so. We need to call so-and-so. We need to send someone an encouraging card. We need to pray for them. We need to go visit them. And so widows are very important. And so they didn't want to neglect that aspect of the church. But notice there were Grecian ones, and then there was Hebraic ones. There's a little bit of a ring, getting a ring back up here. And so there was a clash between, well, who's going to get the food? And so there was complaining going on. So they're like, we got to meet this need, because widows is a very important aspect to our church. And so, but also, so is the Word of God. We got to give people feeding their souls too. And so today we're going to look at this church. We want to be a church on the move. Now notice this key verse in Acts 17:28. It says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." The only way a church can move and live and have its being and presence to be salt and light in the community is what? To be in the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at in Acts chapter 4, it says all the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that even possible? Yes. They didn't get the varsity Holy Spirit and we got the JV Holy Spirit, right? No, we got the same Spirit. We got the same Spirit that they had. Think about that. It's like, well, how can they do that through these people? They were just ordinary fishermen. Didn't have a huge education. They just hung out with Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit's empowering them to do the impossible. Seeing them pray and preach and do miracles. It's like, can the Lord do that through simple me? Yeah, He can. Our biggest struggle is accepting that fact. Or accepting the fact that our prayers can matter that much. Isn't it hard to believe that sometimes? Yeah. You know, just in our audience today, there's somebody, I'm not going to say his name, but hope was against him big time. But God has raised him up and he's here singing and worshiping with us today. It's amazing what God can do. Just because we choose to pray. And if you want to be part of our prayer team, just fill out the little connection card, put your email on there, and we send you prayer requests each and every week. And so we're trying to increase our prayer ministry so you can get those things and pray over them, right? And so that's a very important thing. So just fill it out, turn it into me or the connection. There's a black box there, just turn it in there because we want to be a church that prays, right? We have access to the Father, and the Father is listening, and He's just waiting on us to say some things and pray. Our situation for Ada, she needs our little prayers big time. Critical week, critical time. So continue to pray. We're going to pray for her at the end as well. And so, but please sign up for that prayer request ministry. Prayer ministry, we love to have you be part of that. So today we want to honor the Holy Spirit. Since it's Pentecost Day. And I want to talk about the timing of His coming. You know, we've studied the Christmas time, we study the timing of Jesus' coming, right? At Easter, we study the timing of the cross. But sometimes we do kind of little forgetfulness when it comes to the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. We kind of leave out the third person of the Holy Trinity. We kind of like put Him aside sometimes, don't we? It's like, He's just a third guy. He's third string. But no, He is very, very important to our spiritual life, as we're going to see. But the timing of His coming, think about this. This is what intrigued me this week. 50 days ago, what took place? Jesus' resurrection. Christ had to be crucified, right? Then He rose again. But 50 days after that event is when the Holy Spirit came, right? So think about it from the disciples' standpoint. They kept hearing Jesus say, hey, I'm gonna die. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. 3 days, I'm going to come back to life. They're like, whatever, Jesus. Quit talking about that. He told them three times. Three times, right? Raised up Lazarus to prove a couple weeks before, hey, this is what's going to happen to me. Pay attention, right? And so the only person that seemed to get it was Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, preparing for His burial, anointed Him, all that stuff. We did the message on that. And so the disciples saw Jesus crucified, right? Taken away, arrested, crucified by the Romans. The religious leaders handed Him over, yelling, crucify to Him. They're like, what's going on? Everything He says, it seems to be coming true. Their hearts were broken, shattered. Then they see Him raised from the dead, appear to Him, eat, do all these things, see angels. Do things and see angels release Him from prison, even in Acts chapter 5. They're seeing all these things take place. Seeing Jesus elevate to heaven right in front of them. It's like, I would need counseling just for that. Right? It's like, what just happened? And so their hearts needed to be in recovery from all this. Their hearts needed to be restored. Remember, Peter said, Jesus, if you die, I'll die with you. And Jesus says, no, you're going to betray me. You're going to deny me three times. So Jesus had to restore Peter's heart in the midst of all of this. in John 21, where Jesus says, "Do you love me?" Sometimes Jesus, all he has to do is just ask that one question, doesn't he? Do you really love me? And Peter's like, "Lord, you know I love you." And he said it again. Three times, do you really love me? It broke Peter's heart. He and Christ got their heart restored. But the thing is, Jesus comes to do that. He knew what they went through was going to be overwhelming, right? He even quoted, "Hey, they're going to strike the shepherd and the people are going to be scattered. You guys are going to run and flee. You're going to be embarrassed to me. It's going to be hard." And Jesus was preparing them for all these things. Now think about it from the Holy Spirit standpoint. Third person of the Trinity, he's like watching from heaven. It's like they just killed the second person of the Trinity. The Father just sent him in a time when the world's a mess. We're going to leave and look at that here just a little bit. And the Holy Spirit's like, I don't know if I want to come. I mean, the world's a complete disaster. Just killed Jesus, and now they're telling me I need to go. Well, the amazing thing, he's invisible, so they can't kill him, right? They can't capture him. They can't arrest him. But I wonder if in his heart is, do I really want to come? But he came, as we're going to see in just a little bit. And so they needed to recover. They needed to be restored. Then they also needed to be reunited. In Acts chapter 1, it says they got together. They were reunited. That's a very important phrase because they were all wondering what was going on. Right? All these things were happening. Even seeing Old Testament people walk through the city of Jerusalem, walking around in the city just prior to all these things. Their hearts had to be like, what is going on? We are so overwhelmed. But we have to be reunited here. But then Jesus says, hey, just in just a little while, your hearts are going to get reignited with the Holy Spirit coming. In John 14 to 16, Jesus tells them before he dies the very next day, hey, this is what's going to take place in just a few days. He was preparing them for the book of Acts before they even went through the book of Acts. Isn't that amazing how God is like, hey, you're getting ready to go through this. I'm going to prepare you for this big trial that you're going through. And so Jesus is like, hey, when he comes and I leave, wow, you're going to do greater things than I've been doing. They're like, what? They didn't believe some of his things that he was saying. But this summer, as we're kind of in recovery, right? It's been a year. It's been a hard year. Let's just own up to that fact. It's been a hard year through all this transition. People have lost jobs, everything else. Family's been hit, trials, financial stuff, health stuff. It's just been huge. We're still coming out of it, right? We're just on that when we're just in this recovery phase. And now sometimes our hearts just need to be restored from it all. And we got to get together. We're starting to be reunited. But my purpose in this message, in this whole message of Acts, is for us to get reignited, right? To get fired up about our faith, right? We've just lived through a pandemic. The last one was 100 years ago. Who was here 100 years ago? It's been hard to lead through all of this, right? Hard to live through it all. But guess what? The Holy Spirit's never left. He's never left you. Stay at home mandate. Guess what? I'm here. Holy Spirit's here, right? But Jesus knew it was going to take time for them to heal. You ever just need some time? Just to heal and recover, be restored. This summer, I want you to do that. I want you just to focus on those four things. Lord, I want to make sure I'm recovering well mentally, emotionally, physically through all of this. I want to make sure my heart's restored. It's good with you. I want to make sure that fire is back in my soul. Because sometimes we can lose faith in the midst of this. We can just have a lot of questions and doubt a lot of stuff. And just get our hearts good again. Get our minds well again. Amen? And so Jesus knew the disciples needed that. Now think about this as well. There was a lot of division going on in the same time frame. We just been focusing on the disciples. But there was a great political divide during this time frame. There was great racial tension during this time frame. You have the Jews and the Gentiles, one. Then you have Jews and the Samaritans who were at odds with one another, right? And so you have the Roman gods and Greek gods, and you have the Jewish gods. And even within the Jewish spiritual realm, you had the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and now they were rejecting the disciples because they just killed Jesus. We're going to kill the leader. We want to get this thing squelched. Right? That's Acts chapter 5. They wanted to do that. Paul comes on, he's like, I want to remove everybody out of Jerusalem. And that's what we're going to happen in Acts chapter 8. They all were scattered. They all had to leave Jerusalem. There was a great persecution. It was so intense, we don't realize the intensity of this moment in time in history. But guess what? The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came. What did we just experience through all this political divide, racial tension, spiritual tension? I'm glad we didn't live like in those days, right? We were living them. We were living it. And the Holy Spirit says, you know, I'm going to come and help change the world through people whom Jesus died for. And then an awesome thought. He's like, you know, the world's a mess. I'm just going to let it run its course. He's like, no, Jesus came. I'm going to be his helper carrying it on to the ends of the earth. Right? Through God's people. I'm so thankful he came. What a gift. Jesus says, the gift of the promise of the Father is going to come. You ever just stand back and say, Lord, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit? It's like, wow. We're thankful for the gift of salvation. Yes, that's a great gift too. I mean, eternally being saved from our sins and going to heaven? Yeah. But the Holy Spirit comes and he confirms our salvation. Amen? He comes inside of us. At the moment of our salvation. And so Jesus explains in John 14 to 16 several verses. So I'm going to go to the next slide. The purpose of his coming. So in John 16, he says he's going to come. He's going to convict the world of sin and judgment to come. Isn't it amazing how sometimes people who don't know Jesus yet already know, hey, I think something's going on in the world. I think there's something in me that needs to be fixed. Can you help me? Where did that come from? Holy Spirit's at work on him, right? He's called the restrainer, right? So he is like helping people. He's that agitator thing inside of us saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Or are you tired of this yet? It's not fulfilling, is it? So he convicts the world. In John chapter 3, Jesus says he helps people be born again. We've got to be born of the Spirit of God. We've got to start all over spiritually on the inside of us. He helps us have new life. Ephesians chapter 1, he comes to indwell us and seal us, as Thurman mentioned. In Ephesians chapter 1, it's a great chapter. To help conquer, in Romans chapter 8, to help conquer our sin in our life. You ever just have that annoying little thing in your life that you just need help crushing? Well, guess who can help you? He loves to help. Even Jesus said, he goes, he's your helper. That's his name. You need help, call on the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. He's going to be just like me, but invisible, without flesh on. But he's going to live inside of you. He helps teach us the Bible. He helps us stay Jesus-focused in our life. You ever just get distracted like a squirrel? You know, just like, it's like he's like, hey, no, just right there, just stay focused. He helps you do that. Think about that. He helps you understand the Bible. It's like, I don't understand what I'm reading, Andy. It's like, well, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He's your teacher. Sometimes I got to read it multiple times, right? But ask him to open your eyes, open your heart and ears to receive what he has. And then you're like, oh, that's, he does that. He highlights a verse and it like comes to your like, it's like, what is that? He goes, that's just for you. I'm highlighting it because it's for you. And mark that little verse. It's like, wow, that's the day he spoke to me on that verse. He helps us pray and fight against the evil one. In Ephesians 6, it says he's the sword of the Spirit. He's the word of God. And so when the enemy attacks our thoughts and our hearts and our emotions, he's like, take this sword and use it. Right? He's the sword of the Spirit. But you have to use the word of God to come at it. Right? And so it's like taking this and putting it in your mind and using it. Because guess what? He's going to put doubts in your mind. He's going to attack you. It's like he's going to make you feel worthless. It's like, well, how do I combat that? With the truth. Right? I got to think how God thinks of me. I am not worthless. I'm a child of the living God. He loves me. Right? He values me beyond what I even think about. But the enemy will come to you. But you have the weaponry to fight. So Paul is like, take your stance, and that was like a fighting stance. Take your stance and fight. Don't run from that fight. No, he should be the one leaving, right? When he fought Jesus, he fled. But he came back to him at another different time, and Jesus fought him again. It's like, you got to stand and fight. But guess what? You have the Holy Spirit to help you fight. He's your courage. He's your boldness. He's your faith. He's your everything. Right? He helps you put your dukes up. That makes sense? And sometimes you just need to fight. Walk around your house and just mentally say it out loud and fight. Pray over stuff and fight. I think we're afraid to fight anymore. He's like, oh, these weak Christians. I just take them over and just, I just say a couple words to them and they're defeated. Seriously, it's like, this is what he does. It's like, they're so easy whooped. Paul says, you know what? Stand strong in his mighty power. Right? His mighty power. We are weak, yes. But in him, we're mighty. We're mighty. In John 14, Jesus was sitting down with the disciples after dinner. I love this teaching lesson. I love these verses. And Philip goes, hey, Jesus, why don't you just show us the Father and everything will be good. We'll understand everything else. And Jesus was like, don't you know the Father? Me and him are one. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he's like, wait a minute, what? I'm looking at you and now you're telling me I'm seeing the Father too? Jesus says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it's the Father living in me, doing his work. Now think about this transition. Jesus is saying, hey, the Father is living in me. He's doing his work in me. The Holy Spirit's doing his works and miracles through me. He's giving credit to the Father and the Holy Spirit, right? Notice verse 16, just a couple verses past this. And Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you for how long? Oh. I hope you grasp that a little bit, right? It's like, well, how long will I have him in my life? What a gift. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never harm you. He will never hurt you. But he will be with you forever. Hope you get a little more thankful now, right? And so Jesus is like, hey, the Father's in me, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be in you. Wow. And he's going to come. Because the Father, guess what? He always answers Jesus' prayers. Does that make sense? He always answers our prayers. You know that? Sometimes they're yes and no and maybe or wait. But he always answers. So that's the purpose of his coming. He's come to help us, to be our comforter, teacher, convictor. But then lastly, in Acts chapter 1, you see him being the power of his coming. He says, you shall be my witnesses once the Holy Spirit comes on you. And this is what you'll be. You'll share the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the ends of the earth. The gospel will go forth. But you got to have the power to do it. Right? How many of us sometimes just don't have the strength to do things that we want to do? He says, I will be your strength, your power. And it's going to come from inside. So Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, Lord, strengthen them from the inside out in the inner man with the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul knew how to pray for the inside of people, right? What we needed the most. The power of that resurrection power. Lord, start me afresh and anew. Lord, raise us up from this mess. And he's going to do it. So the apostles saw a crippled man who was born crippled start to walk in Acts chapter 3. They saw God's power on display. Saw God heal a cripple that Jesus would do all the time, but now it's them doing it. It's like, wow. And he says these words, this power didn't come from us. It came from the Holy Spirit. Right? Came from the Holy Spirit. So people were being healed from sicknesses. People were being healed from being torment of evil spirits. Can they torment people? Absolutely they can. Mentally, emotionally, physically. Yes, you see that in the Gospels. Can people be healed from that? Absolutely. Why? Because there's a greater power than evil. And that's God's goodness. Amen? So we overcome evil with good, Paul says in Romans 12. But they were doing miracles. People were seeing answers to prayer. Peter and John were in prison. The people gathered around and prayed. It's like, Lord, save them, release them. So God sends an angel down, opens the prison bars, walks out and says, hey, go back out and start preaching again. That's what the angel told them. They're like, okay. But God just kept doing things. But it was through his people. He's called the Spirit of Missions, and he carries it out to the ends of the earth. Now notice in Acts 1:8, if you notice that verse, it's on your outline there. He says, but you, notice Jesus is talking to the disciples, but you will receive power when he comes on you. Do you know what God's plan A has always been? God never has a plan B. It's Y-O-U. Notice how he says, but you. He goes, you've seen the Holy Spirit do miracles and stuff through me and all these kinds of things, but it's on you now. It's on you. His greatest investment, think about this, is you. He came for you. He deposited heaven and put it in you. That's how much he thinks of you. We're going to come to a passage in Acts I think it's around 10 or 12, where it says people didn't consider themselves worthy enough to receive eternal life. I read that, I about choked to death. I was like, what? How did I miss that verse? How can people wrap their minds around that to where they're not feel worthy enough? So they rejected Jesus. I know sin can take us down very far. Shame and despair and regret and remorse, it can bring us very low. But guess what? Jesus can lift you so much higher. If he can conquer death, he can conquer anything for you. Don't turn your eternity away just because you don't feel worthy enough. At least say, Lord, I know I'm not worthy, but you came for me anyway. You came and died for me anyway. You came to forgive me anyway. That's the power of the message, the power of the Holy Spirit of the gospel. In Acts chapter 6, it says people were increasing. The disciples were increasing. And we want to see God do more, don't you? We live in a county of 40 plus thousand people, 18,000 probably in the city. Where the whole downtown is being remodeled. It's going to start to blossom. There's a lot of things happening in our city. And so we've got to come together and be reunited and reignited so we can reach people for Christ. A lot of things are going on, right? Stores being remodeled. Things are coming. Zaxby's. Maybe even a Chick-fil-A may be coming. Woo! About time, Lord. I've been praying long enough. Instead, they're putting in a Zaxby's first, right? And so anyway, hey, we'll go there until it comes, right? What we desperately need in our lifetime. All jokes aside, we don't need any restaurant coming to this town. We don't need anything new. We just need something from heaven to be poured out on his people. I think God is simply saying to us as churches all over around the world, I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you. Are you willing to be that vessel where you're completely unashamed to stand firm for Christ? As I've mentioned before, persecution is going to rise. Tensions are going to rise, continue to steal. But how are we going to respond? I just watched a little conference. I was very disappointed. I was watching a little conference. Conference was good. It was a webinar online. But before the conference, they had people you could sign up, and these Christians were on there just bashing these leaders. And the name of the conference even, it was just like... it broke my heart. It's like, man, this is where we're at? This is what we're about? Lord, forgive us. I didn't even watch it yet to see if it was any good. I can't imagine how the Holy Spirit felt when he watched Jesus die and saw all the mess go on, how his heart was grieved. Jesus' heart broke. Right? Before he entered Jerusalem, it says he wept as he saw this city because he knew they were going to reject him. All of heaven was broken. But the Holy Spirit says, you know what? Jesus has gone up. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's praying. He's sent me to do an amazing thing through his people. And he's just waiting on us to be filled with him. Are you going to be that person? Am I going to be that person? Let's pray together as the praise team comes up. Father, we thank you so much for your word, just how it speaks truth to our souls and our lives. Lord, help us stand today as a needy people for more of you and less of us. Lord, that's what John the Baptist prayed. Lord, that you might increase and that I might decrease. I might be filled more of you and less of me. So, Father, I just pray that we would be those empty vessels that you fill today. Each person here. Lord, we need your strength. We need your power. We need your confidence. We need your boldness. We need you to teach us and live through us. Help us to believe who we really are in you. Just accepting the truth of who we are and living out the truth of who we are. Lord, help us even do those simple little things. Because in you we want to live and move and have our being. And Lord, may we see a mighty revival, Lord, in our time, in our city, in our county. And let it start with little old us. Let it begin in each one of us. So Holy Spirit, that fire from heaven, we pray that you fall down on us. Fill us with your Spirit today. Help us love you more. Help us appreciate you more and what you do inside of us and outside of us. Help us to represent you well. Help us to just be that witness you've called us to be. In Jesus' precious name, amen.